Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, is there a cover-up underway in Uvalde? Why is the truth so hard to come by after the Robb Elementary School shooting? This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. There's a lot of confusion about what happened in Uvalde on May 24th. We do know that an 18-year-old entered Robb Elementary School and fatally shot 19 students and two teachers, and that earlier in the day he shot and severely wounded his grandmother. He stole her pickup truck, crashed it into a ditch near the school, and then he entered the school building unobstructed through an unlocked side entrance door. He went into a classroom and began to kill. How police responded to this is not clear, but it is obvious that how law enforcement handled this should have been better. And without a fully transparent top-to-bottom review with accountability for the mistakes, Texas law enforcement is not going to get better at this, and there will be other shootings at schools, at places of worship, movie theaters, and grocery stores. There will be more families with children murdered, but will elected officials of Texas engage with the public to discuss improving active shooter response or limiting access to guns, or will there be cover-ups or the spinning of these events to protect a pro-gun agenda? To talk about this, we're joined by Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez, a Democrat who represents the area west of San Antonio, including Uvalde.
As of yesterday, the district attorney has told DPS that they're not to issue any more reports as the investigation is being taken over by her office. I'm being told that that's standard procedure when there's an officer-involved shooting. That said, I'm not really interested in the criminality. I'm interested in the procedural, systemic, and human failures that occurred by law enforcement in that hallway, which is what I believe that we as policymakers should be privy to. I think it's an absence of leadership on the governor's office to be able to ask for that directly. I mean, he wants to claim that he's calling a special committee to do this, that, and the other, but how in the world are we going to be able to look at school safety if we don't even know what happened and what went wrong here in this instance?
The district attorney that covers Uvalde County is going to be taking over the investigation into what happened with the response to the shooting at Robb Elementary. And they're looking for criminality in the response to the shooting at Robb Elementary?
I can't tell you what. I don't know. I do not know what they're looking into. I'm being told that this is, the perpetrator is dead now. I mean, there's nobody to indict. I can't even begin to guess, who the district attorney might be considering going after.
There is this committee that's been formed by the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. You have commented on that as a slap in the face to the residents of Uvalde because they don't have a voice or representation in the committee looking at the shooting. Tell me more about that.
The Lieutenant Governor is doing the bidding of the governor. I understand what they're trying to do. At the end of the day, this special committee has no power to do anything. I guess they're just going to hear from resource witnesses. I'm scratching my head as to what the effect one way or another of that committee is going to be. Until we're in a state certain special session, nothing can be done here. I'm done having roundtable discussions and recommendations that go nowhere. If I've spent my career shaming Greg Abbott, then so be it.
Having those hearings could be productive. The head of the DPS, McCraw, there and asking him some pointed questions and other people who were involved in a response. Maybe we'd finally get some answers that way.
Yeah, that would probably be the only way we could get any answers and through the legislative process, assuming the DPS comes before this committee, assuming that they have them there, they would have to be able to testify and the legislative process would really, quite frankly, force them to say something.
It's been reported that you've had conversations with Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
So, I mean, my conversations with the Lieutenant Governor are my conversations. I mean, I understand, you know, the very nature. I mean, I think that I feel comfortable saying that there is this assertion that maybe I'm politicizing this issue. This is a political issue. These are children and families that are heartbroken and destroyed in my community, who I'm visiting with daily, who I talk to, children that were in that building daily. This is a community that is distraught, and they need answers. You're damn right that this is political. People are looking for a political answer to stop these killings. They're looking for 18-year-olds to not be able to buy guns as if they were shopping at the 7-Eleven.
Is there an active cover-up underway right now?
I don't want to assert that. I feel that it is clear to me that the answers that I am looking for have nothing to do with a criminal investigation. I want to know which troopers were there and when they were there. Those are the guys that are accountable to each other. I want to know why we spent $4 billion in this region, in this area, and we can't get officers to respond fast enough, and we can't officers to follow active shooter protocols, and we can't get officers that are listening to 911 calls to go in and do their jobs. That's what I want to know. That's what the people of Texas deserve to know. When Greg Abbott asks us for $4 billion to solve problem A in the same region, and when problem B comes up, the problem doesn't get resolved in an effective and efficient manner, leading to the potential death of further children. There was one child that was shot through the back, likely bled out, according to the first responder. Maybe that one child could have been saved had officers done their jobs pursuant to the active shooter protocols. But everybody wants to lay blame here. Everybody wants to say, oh, it was that guy, or it was this teacher, or it was that police force, or we followed the wrong protocol. We have to know those answers now. It is an absence of leadership by Greg Abbott to demand those answers now. Those parents are deserving of it. The Texas community is deserving of it. He has the power to tell McCraw, and quite frankly, to even tell that district attorney, saying those procedural logistical questions, I expect those answered immediately. And I don't expect them to be shrouded under the cover of a criminal investigation that heretofore we have not even been told of any possible defendants.
So then is there an atmosphere of transparency, dialogue, trust with the Uvalde law enforcement about how they responded to this school shooting?
But David, here you go again. This isn't the Uvalde law enforcement. It is the state troopers. It is the sheriff. It is the police. Yes, it is a law enforcement failure. McCraw has said that. He said that it is a law enforcement failure. It's everybody that was in that hallway. 48 minutes of 911 calls when you have 19 officers in a hallway. Who is getting those calls, David? We don't know. Do know is the incident commander in charge, I was told, was not getting those calls. Why was he not getting those calls? We don't know, because the DA has taken it upon herself to say, oh, this is criminal in nature. I can't tell you those logistical questions right now because we have to find out. And maybe she's suggesting malfeasance, but that has yet to come out of her mouth as yet. And so my job as a policymaker is twofold. It's number one, to make sure that those people in that community have the assets and the resources available to them so that they can get through their through all of the grief. And they're never going to, by the way. They're never going to. I'm working on BOCA assistance funds. I'm struggling to access information on all the families. I'm meeting the ones that I can through friends. My second job here is to demand transparency from the guys that are supposed to protect us. I respect them. I love a lot of them. McCraw and I have had we've yelled at each other and we've cried with each other. We're all just in this survivor's guilt moment. We all should have done more. This governor should have done more. This governor should have done more after the first massacre. Now he's seven in, and he's done nothing. The very least he could do is demand answers over here on the logistical response and not hide behind the district attorney. He has the ability to make that request now and has chosen not to.
It looks like the district attorney, by turning this into a criminal investigation, is preparing to use what's called the dead suspect loophole to hide public information from the public about this shooting. Do you have a concern about this abuse of the dead suspect loophole?
It's absolutely abusive. You've got this guy, this governor, running for a re-election, you know, obviously making claims at times that he's running for the presidency in 2 years, or certainly looks like it. Everybody suggests he is. He keeps raising money as if he is. He, you know, I wouldn't elect this guy president of the local school board. I mean, and that's the problem, I think. I've been very personal. I have attacked this man. I'm very angry. Texans deserve to be angry, even if you're a Republican. I'm asking for a special session from him. I'm asking for accountability from him. I'm asking him to ask for accountability of this community. He claimed over 3 months ago that he was going to have the Latino community, that he was going to get half of the Hispanic votes because he's working so diligently down on the border for us. And he's shanghaiing all of the immigrants and putting them over at Dilley. Spent $4 billion of our tax dollars to this effort. And by the way, it's a one disaster after another when you're talking about Lone Star, Operation Lone Star. And yet, these guys are in the region. And here, they and other law enforcement units failed us. They should have been doing joint training. That didn't happen in Uvalde. They've done joint training in other areas. I know that for a fact. It didn't happen in Uvalde. We need to be looking at radio systems and see how they operate, check about interoperability, and that didn't happen in this community. 911 failures, systemic failures, human error. We lost 19 babies, and Greg Abbott is hiding underneath his desk.
So Texas obviously needs to get better at responding to mass shootings. So how will we get better at becoming limiting the death toll at these horrific events if we can't ask law enforcement what they did, how they got it wrong, if they're going to be operating in the dark, won't respond to questions, and they're immune from accountability? Isn't this part of the process on how will we get better at this?
It's absolutely part of the process. How are we supposed to know what we're supposed to do next time or not do if we can't get the answers that we need? And how are policymakers going to be able to yell and scream at the agency in charge or the agency that's on duty for us and ask for accountability if the local DA says we can't? This is an abomination of what's happening in the democratic process. And I'm not even speaking as a Democrat. If you're a Republican, you should be repulsed. You should be repulsed that the people that you elect are refusing to do the most simplest of gun solutions. Hell, 80% of Republican voters don't want 18-year-olds buying AR-15s. And on this issue of transparency, the guy that you've elected and that you want to elect, he doesn't want to tell you what went on here, and he wants to hide behind the local DA and say there's this loophole, there's this criminality going on among us. This isn't good enough anymore. People deserve better in this state. This is not good enough anymore, David.
Roland Gutierrez is the Texas State Senator for District 19, which includes Uvalde. When there is a mass shooting, like at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, the El Paso Walmart, or the Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, reporters show up. They document what happened. They tell this story. The satellite trucks arrive. There will be lots and lots of reporters. You will see the national news anchors showing up and doing their broadcast from the parking lot near the crime scene. And the local residents, they're reasonable to quickly be annoyed by this intrusion during their time of utter grief. Reporters are there with cameras and microphones and probing questions about the worst day of their life over and over again. It doesn't take long before everyone in town wants the news media to go away so they can get on with what life's going to be like after the massacre. In Uvalde, the national media has actually been there longer than normal, even for a mass shooting of this scale. Typically, they would have moved on to the next national tragic event. But in Uvalde, the story has continued to develop. This isn't just about that horrible shooting on that one particular day. There are now important questions about how the police responded and the shutting out of questions about that response to dodge accountability. The reporters are still in Uvalde to hold the powerful there accountable. Dan Solomon is a writer for Texas Monthly. His latest article is, Why Does the Official Story of the Uvalde School Killings Keep Changing?
Well, I don't know why the story keeps changing. I just know that it has. It's changed in significant ways five times, maybe six, since the shooting, and then in less substantial ways, minor tweaks, the kind of thing that you might expect as police are trying to, or as anyone is trying to give good information in a hard to understand situation a few more times. But the number of times that it's changed significantly and the nature of those changes raises a lot of questions and a lot of flags. And, if any other source in any other situation changed their story this many times, we would deem them not a credible source. And I think that ultimately you have to start thinking of the police, from Uvalde police to the Department of Public Safety, in the same way.
We understand that there is a fog of war going on when there is a response to a school shooting such as this. And I think the media is willing to accept the fact that, initial information will be adjusted and changed. Why is this different than that?
So the extent to which the stories are changing, the details that are changing are significant. There were, for several days, we were told that there was an officer outside the school who had exchanged gunfire and been wounded by the gunman. And then we learned that that person didn't exist at all. And then we learned that that person did exist, but wasn't at the school and arrived later and then tried to stop the wrong person. And the fact that that's taking days to come out is damning, because it's possible in the hour afterward that someone would have heard that and that they couldn't substantiate. But by day three, you would expect that they would know, okay, this is the person who exchanged gunfire and was injured, or that such a person didn't exist. And so it's the nature of what changed, always seems to create it's a very different story each time.
So we heard from Greg Abbott initially that it could have been worse, and that these were brave officers who rushed in where they ran towards the gunfire, and then that turned out not to be true. We've seen Greg Abbott show up routinely at these mass shooting events. He inserts himself into these events, and he wants to be the one who will deliver the news to the public. We've seen him at the shootings. No one can say anything. No one can give any facts until Greg Abbott shows up, and that could take a while, and we're going to wait until he gets here, and then he will take the stage, and he will make these, he will tell us how bad it was. And so you have to wonder, he has no actual purpose. He's not solving the crime. Is there a question or whether or not Greg Abbott, is his appearance and participation is inappropriate?
I'm not going to try and weigh in on whether it's appropriate for him to be there. I will say that it's not helpful. It didn't give anyone any better information. It further echoed stories that were not true, whether Abbott himself was lied to by the officers who gave him the information or not. I don't know. But I know that the things that Abbott said when he told us what happened were not the things that happened. So I don't know why you would want to put yourself in a position where you're going to be ultimately misleading the entire state, the international media, with bad information. If he enjoys or feels like it's important or feels like it's good for his sense of trust in the community, he only damaged that. by providing bad information. Even if that bad information was provided to him, he's still the one who passed it along. I don't know if it's inappropriate for him to be there. I do know that he misled Texas, and if it's because he was misled himself, that's still on him ultimately.
So, and he told us all this narrative, this heroic narrative that took the emphasis off the fact that we had a young man who was able to buy AR-15s on his 18th birthday, and he was able to shoot up a school because of that. Does he have a political agenda when he goes up there and talks about these school shootings in one way and they actually happened in another?
I mean, I think that it's pretty clear that there is a narrative that Abbott and many of the state's leaders prefer around this. You know, it involves heroic police officers who, you know, sacrifice themselves to keep the rest of us safe. That's, you know, it feeds into a good guy with a gun narrative that I think is very popular and, you know, important politically to those leaders. And there is an assumption that it must be true. And I think that that's what we've seen from Abbott. We've seen it, you know, John Cornyn has echoed that narrative as well over the past week. There are a lot of political incentives to assume that the good guy with a gun narrative is true. And often it doesn't get examined at all. The fact that it got examined in this case is unique. It's not normally the way that it goes.
So the bizarre nature of the aftermath of the shooting in Uvalde is ropes in the police chief of the Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District, who, as far as we know, was the incident commander during that shooting, and that he was the one who told officers to stand down, that they were going to negotiate with this shooter. And they saw him as a barricaded suspect at that point and not an active shooter. That's the narrative we've been told so far, and that he's the guy who made that call. And since then, it's been really weird. DPS tells us he's not cooperating with the investigation. He says he is. I mean, how strange is this?
It's not strange for police narratives to change after something happens. It's not strange for the initial narrative to be the one that's most favorable to police. Those things aren't strange. The idea that the Uvalde police are not cooperating with the DPS investigation, that's unusual. You don't usually see two public law enforcement agencies kind of bickering with one another. So that part is unusual. And you know, but the idea that police put out an initial narrative that turns out to be one that suits the purpose of advancing trust in the police, and that narrative might end up having holes in it or having details that contradict what we were told initially, that's not unusual. It's just unusual that it's such a high-profile incident, and it's so clear to so many people watching that we want the police to go into the school where there's an armed gunman, not to stay outside. So it's very cut and dried in terms of what the expectations are for police in that situation. So I think that that's probably why this situation, you know, is causing more outrage than when the police story on Sandra Bland changed the way that one did, or other situations like that.
See, so when you have a shooting like this at a public school here in Texas, and then we have this an integrated law enforcement response, and we had the Border Patrol and we had DPS, and they were already stationed nearby because of activities on the border, which is like 60 miles away, and we had sheriff deputies and local police and also the Consolidated Independent School District police showing up as well. So you need an incident commander who's going to be able to orchestrate all of that, including medical response and other individuals as well. So the question was Arredondo, was he the right guy for the job? And why couldn't he be told to step aside and someone who with more experience in handling something like this be put in charge? So is the system broken? Was there the policy or the courtesy of letting this guy be in charge? Should that not have happened? And can we fix that, because we're going to have more school shootings? Or are we going to still let the top cop at the school district be the guy in charge?
You know, I'm not really qualified to answer that question. I didn't know who the chief of the Uvalde, you know, CISD police was a week ago. So I don't know. I mean, I think that that's one of the things that we are supposed to trust, that the people in charge know what they're doing and that they have systems in place that put the right people in charge. And, you know, that's one of the things that this incident has really highlighted for, I think, a lot of people. Sometimes the response is just not what we expect. You know, we expect that the right people are in charge of the right situations and will make whatever decisions need to be made to keep, you know, especially children safe in these situations. The fact that, you know, I don't know who should specifically be in charge. I don't know which agency has the best tactical training or decision-making ability. But I do know that we want to be able to trust that when there's a situation like this, someone who knows what they're doing and is willing to risk the danger that we, you know, expect from police, that we give them the power and authority and weapons that we do, and the enormous faith that those things represent, that they will live up to it. And in this case, that didn't happen.
Right.
As far as who should actually be in charge, I don't know.
Yeah. So we do have systems in place. This is put down in practice. They have these things lined out. They run drills, exercises on this all the time, either tabletop or in the field. They work on this stuff. That should be figured out beforehand, and so that we don't have another mass shooting. You know, 19 kids killed. That number could have been lower.
I think that's certainly something that we've seen from how this has gone down, is that, you know, there were children still alive who died in the late part of the 45-minute period when the police were outside. I don't know what would have happened. You know, I think that sort of speculation is difficult to try and get into, but we know that there were kids frightened for their lives while police were outside the door, and then they died, and the police didn't come in until after. And I don't know how you justify that. I don't know how you countenance that.
So we're trying to figure out if we'll ever get access to the 911 tapes or the minute-by-minute TikTok of what happened on that day. What do you think about, will we ever get the actual truth?
I don't know. I mean, I think that that's a really difficult question to answer. I think that, you know, the dead suspect loophole, which says that it's still an ongoing investigation because no arrest has been made, and no arrest will ever be made because the suspect is dead, means that the police have some ability to withhold information that is not within the spirit of the law, because, you know, you're not jeopardizing an investigation into whether this shooter is guilty because he's dead. So that is definitely a loophole, because it's not serving a valid purpose. It's just giving them some cover to refuse to release information.
Dan Solomon is a writer for Texas Monthly. His latest article is "Why Does the Official Story of the Uvalde School Killings Keep Changing?" That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can find past Texas Matters episodes on our website at tpr.org. You can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.